Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. We have a phenomenal week of content planned for all of you listeners, as we will be live all week long from the Arizona Tennis Classic, the ATP Challenger 175K event, now in its fourth iteration of the tournament. Of course, it's our second consecutive year getting to serve as on-site media for the event. And in that capacity, of course, we have the tremendous opportunity to speak with so many different players in the main draw. A reminder to all of you listeners, Christian Garin has to play qualifying at this year's Arizona Tennis Classic. Why is that relevant? Well, it's because he's currently ranked number 87 in the world. That's right. Even with all the withdrawals, that's still the ranking cutoff just to get into this challenger event. So it is a loaded draw, of course, from top to bottom. And look, I will do my best alongside our CR intern, Owen Alderman, to try and grab every player in the main draw. We will try to offer as much coverage of this event as we can, make the most of our opportunity to be surrounded by so many different top 100 players. Again, each of those conversations we do manage to secure, you'll be able to hear them here on the Cracked Interviews podcast feed. And look, the topics are going to be pretty consistent. I'm going to ask what brings each player to Phoenix, going to ask each player for their aspirations in 2024. And then, of course, we'll tailor the rest of the interviews to whomever we are speaking to. The point more broadly is it's going to be a fantastic week of content, and I guarantee you won't want to miss out on any of it. So without further ado, let's get to it. Here is another interview from the Arizona Tennis Classic. Welcome back in, everyone, to our interview booth here at the 2024 Arizona Tennis Classic. Joining me now here in our booth is a returning champion here on our Cracked Rackets podcast. Of course, back in the day, we knew him as an All-American during his time at UNC. Now we know him as a Grand Slam champion and top 100 singles player. It's Rinki Hijikata joining us in our booth. Rinki, first of all, congratulations, my friend, on the last, 15, 18, 24 months, really 23 years of success. I suppose it's been a slow build, but to be a top 100 player, let's just start there in singles. What has that meant to you to break into those ranks?
Yeah, no, it's been pretty crazy. It's been a while since we've chatted, I think, and a lot's changed since then. Yeah. And it's been a pretty crazy couple of years. So, obviously, you know, it meant a lot to crack the top 100 for the first time. And obviously after the run in the US, that was pretty special also. And to kind of have all your hard work over the course of your career kind of pay off like that was, pretty cool. It was a big milestone for any tennis player. So I was definitely really excited and really happy that the hard work was paying off. And now it's kind of, onto setting bigger goals and trying to tick them off soon.
Yeah, so thoroughly deserved. And look, I'm sure the Australian Open doubles title, that's going to be number one on your list forever. But I'm curious on the singles front, you know, you make semifinals on grass in Den Bosch. Then you make fourth round of the U.S. Open. And yet I'm pretty sure the coolest thing you've done in the last year has to be that quarterfinal in Adelaide, right? To get to do that in front of a home crowd, just how do all of these experiences compare, and what has it been like, again, consecutively? What do you attribute, I suppose, all of the singles success to?
I'm not too sure. I think, you know, it's kind of just been a gradual improvement, I guess. You know, it's not like I burst on the scene like right away like some of the players do, and maybe I don't have the game for that, but I feel like I've kind of tried to improve 1-2% every week, and that's kind of been the key to my success, I guess, is just, just trying to find ways to improve as small as I can, but all the time, and I feel like, that's kind of shown in my results. I've had some been able to have some success over the last 12 months, and I think that's because of kind of years of hard work. And you know, yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing what I can keep improving and keep moving forward, and hopefully I can keep building on everything.
That first week of last year's US Open to win three matches consecutively in a best of five format, afterwards you're like, God, I'm so fucking tired. Like, I'm just curious what your body, like, what that was like recovering, what the mindset was like, what that week was like for you.
Honestly, physically, I was feeling pretty good. Okay. You know, my first match was quite long, I think, maybe just over 4 hours, and it was a pretty tense match, so there was a lot of kind of nervous energy and everything. Luckily, I had a bit of a quicker one in the second round, which I think helped a lot with my recovery and everything. And then again, the third one was a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, physically, I was actually feeling pretty good. It was more mentally, just trying to... kind of ride the wave, and you know, you have the really high highs, and then it's pretty difficult to sleep and everything after a win like that, and then having to come back the next day, you know, get a bit of practice in, try and recover as best you can, and then come back 48 hours later and do it all over again. You know, I think I learned a lot from that kind of week and a bit. It's just how you have to try maintain both physically and mentally, and you know, to do that over 2 weeks is I guess why winning a Grand Slam so difficult, and then what the top players do so well.
Yeah, well, let's be clear, you have won a Grand Slam, so you are at least somewhat familiar with what that process is like. But you know, you talked about it being a gradual rise from you. Obviously, it started at the collegiate ranks, but you were literally futures, challengers, now at the tour level, and it's something like 189 matches over the last 19 months, which, shout out to you, that's freaking crazy. But I'm curious, do you actually notice a difference, like, between the levels? What is the gap between playing these 250 events every week versus what you've seen over the past year or so grinding away at challengers?
You know, I think there's definitely a little bit of a difference in the level. Maybe not so much like the top level. I feel like everyone's kind of got the top level, and any given day people can play really well. You know, whether you're 500 in the world or 50 in the world, I feel like at the top level everyone can play well. It's more just being able to kind of do it week in, week out. That's probably the most difficult thing. And you know, it's been pretty crazy. I think it's helped a lot that I had to kind of grind through those futures and everything. Gives me a bit more appreciation when I'm at a tournament like this, and you know, things are very nice, and I don't take that for granted. But yeah, it also, I think, helped that when I started playing futures, it was kind of right after COVID, and I felt like they were kind of nails at the time. You see a lot of the guys I played tournaments with at the futures level, they're kind of cracking on the tour at the moment, so it kind of shows, I guess, the level that we were competing at those lower levels right after COVID, and I feel like everyone's kind of pushed each other on.
Yeah. No, it's been so impressive. And, you know, looking at your game specifically, having watched you play over these, you know, for a long time now, it feels like your speed has really translated. And I know the game's gotten bigger, but I feel like first and foremost, that foundation of success, you get to the net real well, my friend. Like, it's so impressive. I know that piece was always there, but how important has that piece been as you've continued to transition upwards in levels?
Yeah, it's been important. You know, I think it's important to kind of have different weapons and ways to win points, especially at the top level of the game, and maybe for someone like me, I don't have the, you know, huge serve or forehand like some of the other players do, so I got to get a little bit more creative of how I want to win points and win matches. So that's something that I've worked on a lot with my coach at the moment, Mark, and yeah, him being a serve volley is trying to get me to come forwards a little bit more, and it's probably a little bit more difficult once you go up levels, because guys are so good from the back that your chances to kind of get in are a lot smaller, and you got to be a lot more precise. But yeah, it's something that I've been definitely trying to work on.
Yeah, it's noticeable for what it's worth. And obviously that's part of a bigger reason why you've had success. I'm curious what the next focus is for you as you look at these next 3 to 6 months. You know, what are you trying to develop in your game? And even more broadly, where are you going to be traveling to? Because are you going to go do a clay court season? Are you going to stick around for some challengers? What's it look like for you?
I'm not too sure at the moment. I think the Madrid cut's in about a week.
Yeah.
So I'll see if I'm in Madrid. If I am, then I'll be heading over to Europe and play Madrid, Rome. And
would that be your first European clay court stretch?
I played a couple futures
when I was
a couple years ago, and last year I played one challenger in the French, so I haven't had a good stint on the clay kind of for a long time. So that'll be interesting. Yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing how I can do over there. But, yeah, it'll probably kind of depend on the next few weeks. Hopefully I can rack up some good results and that can kind of lead me into the clay swing.
Yeah. Goals here this week for Phoenix. I'm curious what your impression. I know you were here last year, but thoughts on this 175K event, a loaded draw. What are you hoping to accomplish here this week?
Yeah, obviously it's a it's a stacked draw here, and there are no easy matches. I just want to, you know, just work on a few things on my game, be able to kind of try execute them under match pressure, and hopefully, yeah, get a couple matches if I can before Miami, and just, yeah, get used to kind of competing again and playing under pressure. I think that's the main thing. If I can win a few matches, and that's a bonus, that'd be great. But yeah, just be able to kind of play in that match pressure again.
Yeah, I love to hear that. Well, then my last question for you before I let you go, you mentioned it has been a little bit of a while since we've spoken. And, you know, again, when you're in college, peanut butter jelly sandwiches, you're cooking hot dogs, all these different things. Now you've made a fourth round of a Grand Slam. Now you've won a major title in doubles. I'm just curious, do you buy yourself something to celebrate? Like, have you given yourself any sort of break, any sort of reward as a way of saying, like, you know, these first 18 months haven't been the worst?
I actually was pretty good for a while. I didn't buy anything, or I actually bought a watch at the start of the year, which was probably my first.
What are we talking? Like, I don't know the names, but yeah, like Rolex or
yeah, I got a Rolex at Aussie Open this year. So that was probably my big kind of purchase to myself. Yeah. You know, a few of the guys are big watch snobs, and I'd never even you know, thought about getting a watch before probably the last 12 months, and then probably been influenced a little bit by a couple of the Aussie boys. So yeah, now I'm kind of, I guess, into them a little bit, and got my first one. So
well,
yeah,
I love to hear. Well, the thing is, now you'll just need to keep on winning, an excuse to again do it again, and continue to earn the gifts that obviously, again, the results dictate. But more broadly, haven't followed you since what? I was at that 2020 National Indoors, and so it's been about 4 or 5 years now. You're top 100 player, you're Grand Slam champion. It's been so cool to see. So, Ricky Hijikata, thank you for taking the time to chat with us. Obviously, good luck not just this week, but as you continue your rise up the rankings.
Thanks a lot. Nice to chat.